Thanks for listening to the Suzy Larson Life podcast, available thanks to support from listeners like you. Welcome to Suzy Larson Live. Always so honored, always truly honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, I would say pretty much every single person within the sound of my voice has a few unfulfilled longings in their lives. In my book, Your Beautiful Purpose, I talk about these four specific seasons we tend to find ourselves in as God prepares us for the next place He has for us. And one of those seasons I call active waiting. You know, you look like business as usual on the outside, but there's an active, deep longing on the inside. Maybe you're going through the motions of your day job and or family life, but deep inside, there's this active groaning that you're keeping before the Lord. Whether you're a guy or gal, you feel like you're pregnant with something, like something has been birthed in you, or there's a long-awaited desire that is not going away for you, and you're keeping it before the Lord. And you know what? That's active waiting. We're going to talk a little bit about that in a little bit, because there are temptations in that time, and there's just wise steps we can take in that time. But maybe you have a longing that you've sort of just tossed by the wayside. And that's what passive waiting looks like. It's more like tossing it aside in hopes that someday it maybe comes to fruition. Well, I hope it changes. It's kind of a hope-so hope, you know? But if we zoom out a bit, we may also find people listening today who are literally in a season of transition. Maybe you haven't made your move yet, but you strongly sense a move is coming. Or maybe you have made a move. You've transitioned from one job to another, or you decide to go back to school, or you just sense God has said, don't get too comfortable. Changes are coming, and you don't know what the change is, but you're really trying to loosen the tent stakes. So how do you do that? What are you to do when you're waiting on God? Well, my guest today says there's a very big difference between waiting on God and waiting with God. Spiritual director and counselor Pamela Nelson joins us again today. We get her on about once a month. And we're going to talk today about exploring healthy ways to wait on God to the point where it cultivates a holy expectancy within you, a holy anticipation. So I want to know from you. I love listener participation. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting on God for? And I want you to give me an honest answer. You can do, you know, tell me what you're waiting for and then say, passive or active? Like, have you been bringing it before the Lord? Or is it just been a hope-so hope that you've not really done much with it, because maybe because you've lost hope? I'm not going to read any names, but I want to read the text so people know they're not alone. What are you waiting on God for? What is a longing in your heart, an unfulfilled desire? And would you honestly say it's you're in an active waiting season, or maybe a passive waiting season where you've not done much with it? Text me, 877-933-2484. Here's the number again, 877-933-2484. You know, when you text, it's sort of a love language thing. It reminds me you're there. You're with me, and we're having a conversation together. I'm going to admit to you, I have Memphis, my pit bull boxer, sitting at my feet. He's old. He's been limping. He's been in a lot of pain, and he's sticking right close to me today, and he doesn't seem to feel well, so he's right under my feet today. He wants to know that you're with him too. Just want you to know. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get this conversation started. Pamela Nelson's an ordained pastor, experienced biblical counselor, spiritual director who's been supporting people in their healing journey, as well as mentoring and coaching individuals for the last 30 years. Along with her consulting counseling practice, she also serves as the director of Soul Care for Advanced Hope Ministries. She's a Soul Care specialist with Align Strength-Based Leadership and is a senior spiritual director with Soul Shepherding. She's got two grown sons who are both married. She's a proud grandma of six children, and we're always glad to talk. Pamela, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much, Suzy. It is wonderful to be here with you again, and I just am so excited about this conversation today.
Me too. I love this topic. I used to just dread the waiting seasons. And then over the years, God showed me it's an invitation to intimacy. And we can get into that even in a little bit. But let's start making it personal. As you've been spending time with the Lord these days, what's He saying to you?
Yeah, I wanted to go to Numbers, actually, the Old Testament, in Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. And I'm guessing that many of your listeners will know this song, maybe based more on a worship song that we sing in church called The Blessing. But it comes from this passage here of the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. And but I want to read it in a different translation. And one of the reasons that he's speaking to me so powerfully in this is I was just with a whole group of women here at Glacier Bible Camp. And Susie, you have been in this area and you know how beautiful that is. And we were coming to the end of our weekend with these women. And as we were closing out, the Lord just attended me to the fact that several of them were fearful about going back to their homes. What does it look like in my prayer closet? And more specifically, what does it look like when the Lord is looking upon me? And so I had them do a little reflective exercise. I had them picture what that room looked like, what their home looked like, away from the beauty and the comfort and the sisterhood of where we were, of what that going home was, and what was Jesus doing as he entered into that room. And as I did that, really, none of them were able to say in what I experienced or what I was imagining, I do not picture him smiling upon me. Well, in the New Living Translation, it says, may the Lord bless and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. And you know, Susie, I can see it right now. You in Memphis, right where you are at, Jesus entering the room and his face smiling on you and being gracious to you because he knows your heart, Susie. He knows your need. He knows exactly what this treasured pet that you love needs right now. And he knows that you're tender. And so I just want to ask our listeners, even as we are beginning, even as they are waiting on something and waiting with the Lord, can you picture him smiling on you? The face of what a newborn father would look like as it's gazing on its newborn child, smiling on that child, and just could hardly keep their cheeks from getting so big, and perhaps even a tear coming to his eyes because of who he knows this child could be. And that's how he feels about you today.
Wow, thank you. Thank you for sharing that. I'm going to read a few of these texts that came in, and then I'm going to ask you to make the distinction between waiting on God and waiting with God. But this dear one says, waiting on God's direction for whether or not my husband looks for a new job in another state, scared because we'd be leaving all of my extended family behind. But I really feel God is preparing us for something different, something big. Now we're just waiting to hear more of his voice. First of all, friend, I want to tell you, I cannot even express to you how many people are in that exact same spot. And it is like chess pieces. God is moving his people around for a purpose. And there are some people who are surprised because they thought, I thought I'd retire from this company. But God has a purpose and a plan, and I cannot wait to see as he reveals his plan and presence, purpose for you. And I'm wondering, Pamela, if you have any advice for this person right now.
Yes. Thanks for asking about the distinction of those two things, either that waiting on or for, as opposed to waiting with. And so as they are doing that, first of all, in prayer, we wait with God. So if you can imagine that a child is looking for their parents or looking for an answer, and if they are waiting on or waiting for, there's this sense of lostness. I'm looking for something. I'm not feeling secure because there's something that is not present with me. But when we wait with God, especially in prayer and listening and worshiping and declaring the truth of who he is, we have his presence near. The word of God is living and active, and that living, active presence then is free to whisper at us at the time when we are most ready to hear exactly what he needs to tell us and what the next step is. So I want to encourage this listener, wait with the Lord. Pray actively. This isn't a time of pausing and looking around and distracting, but with the Lord, then you are in a posture to be able to hear his whisper and hear his voice.
So good. Got a number of other emails, or I'm sorry, texts that have come in. I'm so appreciate you all sharing. And some are admitting I'm waiting actively. Others are saying I'm waiting passively. And I want to make the distinction between that when we come back. When we come back too, we're going to also dig into my book, Your Beautiful Purpose, where I just talk about some temptations in the waiting season. And one of them is to leave before you leave, you know, to leave emotionally before you've left physically. There's a way to do this. And waiting with God is so profoundly intimate and powerful. And I promise you, as you engage with God, whatever next transition he has for you, next place of promise, when you get there, you will look back at this time as some of the most sacred time in your walk with God. It can be a sacred, beautiful time. We're talking about waiting on God, waiting with God. Pamela Nelson joins us today. She's a spiritual director and counselor. And I've got a number of texts coming in, but I'm going to still ask for your input. What is the longing of your heart? What are you waiting on God for? And are you actively waiting? Like, is it front burner where your business as usual on the outside, but on the inside, something's growing within you and you're keeping it before God? Or have you kind of tossed it aside and maybe defeat where you're passively shrugging your shoulders going, man, I hope it works out, but you're not engaged with it? Be honest. Tell me what you're longing, waiting for, and how you're waiting, passively or actively. No shame, no wrong answer. And we'll keep talking. Don't go away. We'll be back in a minute. Faith Radio podcasts are produced by the listener-supported ministry of Faith Radio. If you're interested in becoming a team member, a donor to this ministry, you can support the podcast anytime and donate at myfaithradio.com. You brought me blessings out of a tragedy. You turned my old song into a symphony. And with your spirit living inside of me, I'm a new creation. Thanks so much for tuning into Suzy Larson Live. We're having a really awesome conversation with spiritual director, counselor Pamela Nelson about waiting on God, waiting with God. And at the open of the show, I made the distinction between active waiting and passive waiting. Passive waiting is you have a longing in your heart and you're not doing anything with it. There's no shame in that, but it's just maybe you've waited so long, you sort of tossed it to the side. God hasn't forgotten. You just need to know that. But active waiting is maybe people on the outside don't even know that you've got this major thing being birthed within you, but you know, and God knows, and you are keeping it before him. So I've asked you to just text in and chime into the conversation. Tell me, what is that longing of your heart? And are you passively or actively waiting? And we're going to continue to make the distinction. But Pamela, I got to read some of these texts. There's so many coming in. This person's waiting for family reconciliation, sensing God will use her to help other families, actively waiting and keeping communication open. I love that. She says, recently lost a job, moved several hours drive away to a new community, also starting a small business. So you're in all kinds of transition. Any advice for that dear one who's got, you know, I love that because they're actively following God out of their comfort zone, but also, you know, it's sometimes I think easier to start new things than it is to help repair old things, but she's sort of doing both.
Yeah, it sounds like there's a lot of transition happening. And, you know, in those spaces, again, that is that coming close to the Lord and spending time listening for what he has to say to us. Because oftentimes we have those friends or those family members in our lives that want to come along and they have a lot of advice and they would feel better if we did this thing so that they could feel better with it. But we have to really be discerning in these seasons about what it looks like to be a person that helps family dynamics to navigate well. I get to be a translator in a space for two people who aren't hearing one another well. When I have spent time on my knees praying for them, when I have the security that I know that the Lord is loving me and that I have worth and I have value, and so I show up and out of the overflow, then I get to give that to my family members. But out of that overflow then as well, wow, moving into a new community and all of that transition, I just want to say, in God's invitation, take the next brave steps that he's inviting you to as he invites you to belong to a community where you have just started. And then be really open to conquer that fear that may be rising up within you, that it's not like where you were before, because this is a new season. And so see what sort of thing he wants to plant in you in the new season, and it will yield new fruit. And that's going to be really exciting.
Boy, that's very good. Okay, I'm going to read one more, then we're going to dig into some of this content, and then I'm going to read a bunch more of the other texts. We could literally probably spend the whole hour going through these texts. There are so many insightful comments. But this dear one says, sometimes life feels boring, like it's just a long waiting game, but I know that's not right or biblical. When this is the case for me, it usually means I need to be living with faith and in the joy of the Lord while I do what seems to be mundane. Or it means to get up and get going to what God has already mandated in Scripture. For example, visiting a widow, calling someone who's lonely, praying. God has given us so much good, so many good things to stay busy for him, that there can be so much of life while we wait. Life comes from living and waiting upon his promise. I'm trying to learn that. I feel like they kind of issued their question and their answer all at the same time. I think that's, to me, that is active waiting. You know, you're not preempting an outcome, trying to get something, God to do something. You're keeping, you know, things in order, but you're doing the things he's already said. Did you want to add anything to that?
Oh, totally. I love that they put, you know, bookends on that. And I just want to encourage this listener too, that what I hear from them saying is that they need to be patient, but that patience isn't, they don't see delay as a problem. They see the delay as a preparation for what might be to come for them fully in something that feels more engaging. And in the process, our small obedient yeses then become that indication that God does have more for us. And so all of those small ways that we are moving forward actively into those yeses, again, that's preparing us. And maybe some of the listeners have texted in, I am waiting for a relationship. And if that is the case, I just want to say one of my favorite quotes from Andy Stanley and some of his relationship series, and I say this to several of my clients, are you the person that you are waiting for is waiting for? So let me say that again. Are you the person you're waiting for is waiting for? And so oftentimes we have a checklist of what we're waiting for in someone else, but then we need to look inside and say, how am I becoming the person that I'm waiting for is waiting for? And so that looks like getting involved in a community and having, getting involved in the Word, being a part of a community of faith, actively looking at myself and inviting people in to say, you know, are there areas that I could grow? Are there areas that I could make sure that physically, emotionally, and other relationships, spiritually, that I'm taking care of my body and my mind and my soul? Because when I actively do that, the person I'm waiting for will be much more available to see me as the one that they are waiting for.
Come on, somebody. That's fantastic. There have been a number of people who are waiting for a spouse, waiting for that person. And someone just texted in and said, I'm not that person yet. And I want to just say, you know, as you pursue God and wait with God, you know, we had Jamie Winship on about a week ago, had a huge response to that show, but he talks about false identities that so many of us operate in. And when you tell yourself something, or you're wearing a label that causes your gut to tie up in knots, that causes you to look down and not up, those are false identities. Those are not from the Lord. And so it's sometimes it's actively engaging in the things God tells you to, but other times, and it is always a good thing to do, but other times it really is going, Lord, show me what false things I believe about myself. And picture them as like banners that you tear off and you lay at his feet. And as what Jamie Winship says, what does love say about me? I dare you to ask yourself that question. What does love say about me? So I want to walk through some of these temptations we may encounter during the active waiting season. Now, I'm springing these on Pamela. She doesn't know. She's quick on her feet. She is. So I'm just tossing these to you, and we'll have a few minutes up to the break at the bottom, and we'll kind of continue on the other side, and then we'll dig in a little bit more. But here are some temptations you may encounter during active waiting. Okay, the first one is to get distracted by your daily duties and forget about the seeds you've planted. So, you know, there's times where it comes alive in your prayer time, or you see something and you're like, yes, this is a real thing for me. But then you get so busy that you don't have forward moving progress. And then conversely, it's to get so focused on your unfulfilled desire that you mismanage your current assignment. So I want to talk about that tension for just a moment. On one hand, you've got seeds under the ground that you want to pray with the watering of the word. And on the other hand, you got stuff to do in your everyday life. And that's why it's active waiting. Just give me your thoughts on that.
Mm-hmm. It's managing that tension, right? Yeah. So we all have that. Sometimes we are in seasons where we see the fruit of what we have planted. And other times we do know that there is work that is being done underneath the ground. What I want to encourage people to do in those seasons is to write down what God is doing and what he has said over you, that you need to rehearse the prophetic. You need to rehearse the promises. You need to rehearse that all of God's promises are yes and amen for us, so that I can go back to that place in my journal and I can look at why I still feel that sense of this unmet expectation or unmet hope or unmet prayer yet. And am I trying to force something in this place so I become irritable? So I start to take offense with God. That if that's the case, that's the world, that is the enemy trying to bait you into that place. But when you look at it on your prayer list, you say, Father God, I trust you that in the right time this is coming. I believe this is a promise for me and it is here written down and I am going to contend for it until I see it. And then within that, then I won't get distracted with the tyranny of the urgent, that we have this day to day that we live into with the rhythm of things that we get to do. But then I also get to pay attention to those things that are still coming. So it seems like the smallest, most simple thing, but writing it down and making it plain is one of the greatest ways to wait well.
I could not agree more. Rehearsing the promises. And when you go back to your journal, I can't tell you the times that God has said, go back and rehearse the promises I've made to you. And I would submit to you, friend, that God always wants us to be planting seeds for a future harvest. And there's times you water those seeds with your tears. And when you're talking, Pamela, it makes me think of the scripture, godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness, mm-hmm. It's forward-moving faith. You know, faith that plans for the future in the place of its fears. Godliness is like, I am tethered to a good God, and he's always up to something new. Godliness with contentment is traction. It's great gain, where you go, okay, I'm not there yet. I'm sowing seeds into that future, and I'm going to steward my assignment now with integrity. I'm not going to leave before I leave. So the next one that I'm going to give you a minute to think about, because we're just about ready to head for break, is to emotionally leave your current assignment before God physically moves you to the next place he has for you. To emotionally leave your current assignment before God physically moves you to the next place he has for you. And with that, you already touched on this, is to get bitter over the delayed fulfillment of your desires. So how do you stay and yet have forward-moving faith? We'll kind of continue to talk about that. I'm talking to Pamela Nelson. We're talking about how to wait with God and to wait well. This can become a rich, rich time. This is a seed planting time, a time where you can look to God to say, you know what? This season doesn't define me. I'm not staying here. I'm passing through this place. God has a next place of promise for me. What does obedience look like here? What does forward-moving faith look like here? What kind of seeds do you want me to plant in this place? And we're going to talk about an excerpt from a Mark Batterson book, and we got all kinds of stuff to talk to you about, but making the distinction between waiting on God and waiting with God. And I'll read more of these texts in just a moment. But we're just going to stand with you, believe with you, and hope by the end of the hour, you're profoundly encouraged to wait well, to wait actively, to wait with faith in your heart. It's the best kind of waiting, because suddenly you're a person in waiting, and it's just so exciting. Breakthroughs are right around the bend, friends. Don't give up hope. We'll be back in a minute. Hope you're having a really great day. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live. We've got a great topic to talk about today. It's waiting. Who's not waiting for something? All of us have unfulfilled longings in our heart. But there's a big difference between waiting passively and waiting actively. And again, there's no shame in this. I've been asking you to text, what are you waiting on God for? What is the longing, the unfulfilled longing of your heart? And are you waiting passively, sort of shrugging your shoulders, sort of just biding time and waiting for hoping it comes to pass? Active waiting is fully engaged, active faith, where you look like business as usual on the outside, but deep inside, there's something being born in you, birthed in you, and you know God is up to something. This Gwen writes, oops, I promised I wasn't going to give names. Sorry, Gwen, but hope you don't mind. She says, thanks for this today. God's time. She says, mine and God's timing don't always align, but God's timing is perfect. In the meantime, I'll obey and keep leaning in and listening to his voice. And she says, today I'm going to add, I've been more of a passive waiter in the past, but just lately the wait is becoming more active. And I love this. She says, sometimes an active wait means being still and trusting God has it all mapped out instead of trying to make something happen. I give a hearty amen to that, because self-restraint is an activation of a muscle, practicing self-restraint. And she says, praise God that just lately he's opened up some unexpected opportunities. Maybe I wouldn't have seen these as opportunities, but my perspective is slowly changing. That is such a fantastic text. I feel like I could do a whole hour on that, because once you start to activate, even if activation is self-restraint, your spiritual eyes open up because you have an expectancy in your heart. Pam, there's one more that I want to read, and then we will we'll dig in. This one says, what a fun topic. Oh, my favorite spot is Glacier Bible Camp. That's where Pamela's coming from, is Montana. She says, this year I'm moving from passive, numbed out into several confirmations through fasting and prayer that my five-year fight of lost adult relationships is spiritual warfare. I'm getting my sword ready, and I'm waiting for God's go. Somebody give me an amen. So good. So, and you want to comment on some of those texts?
Oh, wow. I really love that last comment. And I love that you know what Glacier Bible Camp is, because while you are actively waiting, you spiritually dress yourself. You put on that helmet of salvation. You put on those shoes of peace. You put on the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness. And you have the shield of faith, and you have the sword of the Spirit, because you do know that in that place that you are ready then to take up the word of God. And when the enemy comes after you and wants to be with that spirit of discouragement, that it does not speak to you, but you speak to it, and you speak to that enemy, and you tell him that he can be silenced in the name of Jesus, and that we are only hearing his good report and what the Lord has to speak over us. So I'm so excited to hear from that listener that God is shifting that waiting season and helping her do battle and not letting this trial take her out, but to train her as she is waiting.
So good. So we're drawing from just some temptations that I outline in my book, Your Beautiful Purpose, that you may encounter in this active waiting season. So we touched on getting distracted by your daily present moment, that you forget about the seeds you've planted. It takes a lot of maturity to tend to your current assignments while keeping your eye on the prize, keeping your eye on Jesus, and keeping those things before him. And the other extreme is to get so focused on your unfulfilled desire that you mismanage your current assignment. Again, that takes maturity. Then I'm going to read a few of these in a row, and you can just kind of speak to whatever you want. To emotionally leave your current assignment before God physically moves you to the next place he has for you, and or to get bitter over the delayed fulfillment of your desire. And here's another one: to miss opportunities to forgive and remain pure in heart, which hinders your forward moving progress. Anything you want to say about any of those?
Yes, I would love to bring up Galatians 6:9. And I think that walks into every single one of those temptations, because this verse says so kindly, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season, we will reap if we do not give up. And there's a wonderful quote from Christine Kane that I say often: do not confuse God's due date or a due date with God's due season. In that verse, Galatians 6:9, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. And in the different seasons that we are walking in, he is looking for faithfulness for us to be used exactly where we are at on the way to where we are going. So Susie, I have several different pastors that I work with, and many of them are getting ready for a sabbatical. We have a whole sabbatical care that we are able to offer to pastors and other leaders who go on that sabbatical time, and much of it is in the preparation for being gone, not disconnecting, not checking out, but finishing that time well so that they can truly rest. But then the other part is in that succession of planning, where they are getting ready for a different season and someone else is coming in to take over. And one of the things that so many people look back on and say, I wish I would have done it differently, is to be able to walk out every step of finishing well, because the Lord wants to have us be still and wait patiently for him in those places, and not to fret, not to look ahead, not to disconnect, not to be so excited about what's coming that we can't serve well where we are at. And so I just want to encourage you that whether it's in a different transition of a job or a ministry, that there are still people in front of you that need the gift within you. So don't put your gift away. Don't not see them. Show up and finish well. And in that, then you will reap a harvest if you do not give up.
So good. And this, you really spoke to that. I'll just read these next 2 points. Then I think I'd love for you to read your excerpt from Mark Batterson's Draw the Circle. But here's another temptation, is to minimize your time in the Word and spend most of your time dreaming about your desires, where you just kind of have a rogue, wandering mindset. And it could disconnect your desires from the Word of God, which then morphs into something that you've conjured up on your own. So I just want you to hear that again. When you may be caught in dreamland, where all you're thinking about are your unfulfilled desires, that you've minimized your time in God's Word, it disconnects your dream with God's Word, which then you start to come up with your timelines and your justification for preempting an outcome. And the last one is to adopt a bored, tired of waiting, non-expectant mindset. And what's so interesting is so many of these texts came in, people admitted, you know, that they've settled into passivity because nothing has happened. Would you say a word about the power of holy expectancy, and how maybe someone who's been waiting a long time without seeing any kind of breakthrough can move into a place of expectancy and maybe make any adjustments to what they're focusing on? Can you speak to that, if you would?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I just want to say that, again, so many people are in that place. And when we look to the Word of God, which is living, there are so many stories of those in the Old and New Testament that were waiting for the promises to be fulfilled. And of course, we know that the story of Abraham and Sarah, who were waiting on a child. And even when they did get the promise, it was still another 25 years before Sarah did get pregnant. But in Hebrews 6, the author writes this: and we desire each of you to show the same earnestness, to have the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself, saying, "Surely I will bless you and multiply you." And thus Abraham, having patiently waited, obtained the promise. And so, son and daughter of God, patiently wait so that you don't miss out on the promises that God has for you. And don't be anxious and try to make that promise happen yourself. The peace of God that passes understanding can guard your heart and your mind. In Colossians 3:15, it also says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart and be thankful." And that word rule means to umpire. And so let that peace umpire so that you can wait, not get anxious, and then obtain the promise.
There's something about holy expectancy and active waiting that can get very exciting, because the more it really, to me, is a sparring practice with our flesh, with the enemy, because he'll bait us into offense, bait us into preempting an outcome, bait us into hurrying and rushing around. But if we can resist those, you know, temptations and stay in step with God. God wants us to dream with him. God wants to put dreams in our hearts. There are desires in your heart that actually he put there, and we so often dismiss them, shrug our shoulders. And when we do that, we're making wrong assessments and assumptions about God. But to bring our desires before him, you know, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. When you see he's your first and best gift, there are things in your life that he wants to address and fulfill. And don't you feel, Pamela, that when you come into alignment and you're honest about the longings and honest about your dreams, and then you humbly say, search me, show me, can we do this together? What next? What do you need from me, Lord? What course correction should I make? It actually starts to activate your faith. I mean, you start to notice some traction, don't you?
Oh, completely. Traction in your growth, traction in how you see even the invitation around you of how he wants to use you exactly where you are at. And also when you start to see where perhaps you're getting tired in the waiting or disappointed in the waiting, you know, there's a few questions you can ask yourself and be really curious with what you are hearing yourself say. Perhaps you're getting fearful in the waiting that it's not going to happen. And to say something like, you know, what is this anxiousness or what is this fear saying to me? What is this anxiousness or fear or disappointment saying about me? What is it? What is the enemy using in this disappointment or fear or anxiousness? How is he lying to me in these things? And Lord, what is the transformational truth that you want to tell me in these things? And so it can be a real learning time about seeing what is within us coming out of us, not for the purpose of condemnation, but for the purpose of growth. If it's in there, the Lord wants us to see it so we can grow into what he is preparing for us to do.
Boy, very good word. Reminds me of three questions from Your Powerful Prayers, one of my other books, where I talk about, what is this disappointment saying to me? That's not true. What is this disappointment saying about me? That's not true. And what is this disappointment saying to me about God? That's not true. The kinds of questions Pamela just brought up are these simple questions are good work to do. And again, if you've been waiting any length of time, it's very likely there is some disappointment, is some hurt. And I think undealt with hurt and disappointment will lead to passive waiting. It pulls you out of active waiting. Don't you think, Pamela?
It absolutely does. In that disappointment, we can turn away. We can turn away from community. Again, we can turn to something and there's a phrase called, you know, making an Ishmael out of something that we wanted, which is going ahead of God and not waiting and walking with him again at his pace. And so there is that temptation to do that. And so reflecting and asking yourselves these questions, if the enemy is trying to bait you in with a lie or offense in any way, it's a wonderful time of growth and a really good time to be curious about what's happening in you.
We're going to go to break. When we come back, this dear listener texted in and said, how long do you know when the time is right? I think that just was misworded. How do you know when the time is right with God when you've been waiting and waiting years and years regarding a key relationship? I'm just going to have you pray about that one for the next minute, if you would, Pamela, and just maybe speak to that dear person, because there are times. And I'm not saying this is the case with you, but there are times where we maybe focus on a specific outcome and nothing moves, nothing changes. But if we're looking to the Lord and we still don't see a breakthrough, are there tweaks we can make in our posture and our expectation? And what do you do if you feel like you've been, you know, knocking, asking, seeking, and the wall hasn't moved, the mountain hasn't moved, the heart hasn't moved? What do you do? We'll talk about that in just a moment. More with Pamela Nelson when we get back.
Hey, this is Carmen LaBurge, host of Mornings with Carmen on the Faith Radio Network. I'm seeking to reconnect the eternal with the everyday. I do that in part through conversations about today's relevant issues, hopefully helping to equip you to bring Christ back into every conversation in your life. You can subscribe to my daily podcast at myfaithradio.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
And this is going to be a glorious
sunfold. See
Thanks so much for tuning into Suzy Larson Live. Really having an important conversation about something that every single one of us deals with, and it's waiting. Waiting on God, waiting with God. What do you do with the unfulfilled longings of your heart? Well, we got two choices. Passive waiting, where you just toss it aside, shrug your shoulders, and sort of hope it all works out. Or active waiting, where you determine, God loves me. I'm a child of God. His spirit is alive in me. He cares about every detail of my life. Not only does he care, but the Bible says he delights in every detail of my life. And some of the desires he actually put there. He wants families reconciled. He wants prodigals to come home. He wants to heal broken bodies. He wants to put purposes in our hearts that we could live boldly for him. So much of the stuff we long for, we almost feel guilty about because it feels so selfish when the world's falling apart. But one of the reasons the world is falling apart is because so many of these things have yet to be fulfilled. What if prodigals started coming home? Families stepped into places of revival. Hearts started to heal. I think it's time to dream again. Pamela Nelson is my guest today. She joins us about once a month. She's a spiritual director and a counselor. And we're making the distinction between passive waiting, and again, no shame, no condemnation. You get there often because you're tired of waiting, but moving to active waiting, where you put some of those desires on the forefront of your mind and your heart and in your prayers. And as Pamela said, I do the same thing. Write these things down and then revisit them and say, Lord, I have a saying. We were talking, and start talking about it again. Now, Pamela, this friend texted in and said, how do you know when the time is right with God, when you've been waiting and waiting years and years regarding a key relationship? And we kind of set this question up before the break. Let's even zoom out more. When people feel like, I've been waiting forever, there's been literally no movement, what do you do? And maybe where might your gaze be off a little bit?
Oh, well, first of all, I just want to say thank you so much for texting in, because that is so hard when you have been waiting and waiting for years and it feels like there is no movement from a person that you've learned by now that you don't have any control over their actions. But I want to encourage you, listener, that God may be silent and we may not see movement from them, but the Lord is never absent. And the Lord promises to be with us. And in Isaiah 40:31, for you, listener, I want to encourage you first in this, that they who wait for the Lord, that you will renew your strength, listener, that you can mount up on wings like eagles. You can run and not be weary, and walk and not faint, even if you are not yet seeing the answer to your prayers. You know, it's a little bit difficult, Susie, to answer this question because I don't know exactly what it is that this listener is praying for. So I'm going to cover a couple different bases here, because that could be a restoration of a relationship. That could be somebody who needs to return, but perhaps they're in a broken place and they are not choosing to walk in a pattern of health. What's really hard in those situations is that, you know, we can't choose for them. We can't choose for the prodigal. We can't choose for the one who is choosing other substances potentially. We can't want healing for them more than they want it for themselves. Mm. But what I want you to know is that you can anchor in the love of God and recognize that your security is not shaken even when you don't see movement from them. You keep praying, you keep writing it down, you keep contending, and you keep receiving the strength of the love of God, because he is not absent from you. He never leaves you and he never leaves them. The hound of heaven is going after them. And so I would say, until it's ridiculous to do so, you keep praying, you keep contending, and then in that posture, let the Lord love you.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. I'd love for you, do you have it with you, the Put on the Waiters by Mark Batterson that you wanted to
yes,
share? All right.
I do.
And after that, I've got a Max Lucado quote. It's a shorter one, but I want to share that after. But go ahead and share, maybe if you want to set it up to why you wanted to share this excerpt.
Oh, I absolutely do, because this really talks about actively praying in faith and waiting on the Lord, like literally dressing yourself different. And I love that the title of this devotional from Mark Batterson's Draw the Circle says, put on waiters. Mm. And waiters is spelled differently than the word waiting, but it says this, A drought threatened to destroy a season of crops in Mississippi 50 years ago, so a rural church called for an emergency prayer meeting. Dozens of farmers showed up to pray. Most of them just wore their regular clothes, but one farmer showed up in waders. He got a funny few looks, but isn't that faith at its finest? If we genuinely believe God is going to answer our prayer for rain, isn't that exactly what we should wear? Why not dress for the miracle? That farmer simply said, "I don't want to walk home wet." And he didn't, but everyone else did. I can't help but wonder if that act of faith is what sealed the miracle. I don't know for sure, but this I do know. God is honored when we act as if he is going to answer our prayers, and acting as if meaning acting on our prayers. After hitting our knees, we need to take small steps of faith, and those small steps of faith often turn into giant leaps. Sometimes we need to take a step of faith just to show God that we're serious. It proves our faith. Don't just pray about your dream, act on it. Act as if God is going to deliver on his promise. And this isn't some name it and claim it scheme, Mark Batterson writes. If it's not in the will of God, if it's not for the glory of God, this is a waste of time, energy, and money. But if the dream is ordained by God, then that step of faith honors God, and God will honor your faith. We want God to go first, and that way we don't need to exercise any faith at all. But we've got it backwards. If we want to see God move, we need to make a move. If it seems like God isn't moving in our lives, maybe it's because we aren't moving. If we make a move, God will move heaven and earth to honor our faith. Based on my experience, writes the author, that first step is always the hardest and the longest step. It will require the most faith. It will feel the most awkward. If we step out in faith, signs will follow. In fact, an avalanche of blessings will overtake us and overwhelm us. We'll be buried in God's blessings. When the Israelites were on the verge of entering the promised land, God commanded the priest to step into the river. I'd much rather have God part the river, and then I'll step into the miracle. That way, I don't get my feet wet. But if we are willing to get our feet wet, if we aren't willing to get our feet wet, we'll never walk through parted waters on dry ground. At flood tide, the Jordan River was approximately 200 feet wide. That was all that separated the Israelites from their 400-year-old promise. But if the priest hadn't stepped into the river, they may well have spent the rest of their lives on the eastern banks of the Jordan River. And that's where many of us, maybe us listening right now, spend our lives. We're so close to the dream, so close to the promise, so close to the miracle, but we're waiting for God to part the river while God is waiting for us to get our feet wet.
Come on. Amen. That was from Mark Batterson's little 40-day devotional, Draw the Circle, which I highly recommend. My hubby and I've gone through it about 5 times. Short little readings. It will jack your faith like you cannot believe. Such a good word. And this is from Max Lucado's book, Help Is Here. Listen to this. Mark it down. The Holy Spirit comes with power. Power to make good choices, keep promises, and silence inner voices of fear and failure. Power to get out of bed, get on with life, get busy about the right things in the right way. Power to face the unexpected, unwanted passages of time. Power. This is what Jesus promised then, and it's what Jesus promises still. God does not want a bunch of stressed out, worn out, done in, and washed up children representing him in the world. He wants us to be fresher by the day, fresher by the hour. And I love to piggyback that with what Pamela just read, because if you're waiting passively, it will wear you out. If you're waiting actively, it will charge you up, because it's like muscle engagement. I parallel a lot of things with physical health. That was my background for a lot of years. And I see how God's divine truths are so wired into how fearfully and wonderfully made we are. Our muscles are made for engagement. Our hearts were made to beat. Our blood is made to course through our veins. And all of that takes engagement, activation. And Pamela, sometimes active waiting is like one of these listeners said, it's self-restraint. I'm not going to make anything happen, but I'm keeping my eye on Jesus because he's about to do something. All of that, whatever God says to do, I mean, sometimes people will say, there's nothing I can do, but there's always something you can do when you're actively waiting on God. We just got a minute left. Anything else you want to say?
I do. You began part of your introduction here by saying, oftentimes we are pregnant with something that the Lord has given us. And I just want to remind us of the scripture in Galatians 4, 4 and 5 that says, when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. And that set time had fully come is a word that means fully pregnant. When the time was fully pregnant, then God sent his son. Mm-hmm. And listener, what you are holding, what you are growing, what you are praying about, when the time is fully come, then the Lord will do his work. Don't get weary in the waiting, but wait with God.
In due time, the harvest will come. Your faith is so precious to God, so the way that you wait matters for all of eternity. I pray you found some encouragement here today. Pamela, thank you for another great conversation. Thank you, my dear listener, for giving us the honor of walking this journey with you. And we will meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to Suzy Larson Live. Podcasts like mine are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes and give now.